It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is gonna be huge.
I believe this is gonna be our finest hour.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Here we go, taking you home on a Tuesday. It is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Adam Lundy, and we've got you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Questions, comments, suggestions. You know, we always meet these new listeners. We go out, go to our events, like we had last week at the Indy 500 Fan Fest, and it's always fun to meet people who tune in every day, but you ask them, have you ever texted the show? No.
Oh, no.
Have you ever played Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia? No.
No.
We've got the chance to kind of take two check marks, because right now you can text us at 46862. Whatever's on your mind, we want to hear from you. If you tune in, you listen regularly, just throw a comment, throw a question, throw a suggestion, whatever it is, put it out there and get it to us. But also, in about 3 minutes, we're going to give you a chance to call in and be part of Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia, and we're looking for new people.
New blood.
Yeah, so don't be shy, you know, and especially, Tim last week.
Oh, yeah.
Who we saw at the Indy 500 Fan Fest, he said, I don't call in and play, but if I do, I think now's the time to do it, because you seem very vulnerable. Really? He thinks I'm down right now. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be playing here in just a few minutes. By the way, John Nolan from the Tin Caps just dropped this on X, that the Tin Caps congratulating Emmanuel Ramirez on his Major League Baseball debut with the Marlins.
Hmm.
That makes it 222 former Tin Caps / Wizards that have gone from the 260 to the show. 222. The 222. There should be a special prize given to whoever's 260, right?
Yeah,
I mean, if you're the 260th out of the 260 to the show, you should get some kind of a...
I think so.
A new car or something.
Oh, brand new car.
Yeah, we should give a car away to some some Twitter follower or X follower. But anyway, John Nolan dropped this, that there are now 20 players that played with the 2016 Tin Caps who've reached the big leagues.
Wow.
Now, the list includes David Bednar, who's been in the bigs, 4 years now with, last I knew he was with Pittsburgh as a closer, Ty France, and others. 20 from that roster. That's believed to be a record number from a single A minor league baseball franchise.
Awesome.
Previously, the record was held by the Tin Caps as well with the 2009 team that won 94 games.
Yeah, that was a great
team.
And
won the championship their first year in Parkview Field.
Absolutely. Well, we always talk about how Parkview Field is a chance to see some guys who are not too far away from being in the MLB, and that's a perfect example right
there. Yeah, you came to games last year. You saw early in the year, you got a chance to see Jackson Merrill, and he's now, of course, an everyday player for the Padres.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, there's at least two or three that are playing regularly right now for the Tin Caps that are going to be major league players. Now, sometimes what happens, they end up in a position and the Padres are making a deal to bring in a veteran where it makes sense for the Padres to trade them, and they end up with a major league career that isn't always with the Padres. In fact, I wonder, out of the 20,
right,
I'll bet 15, 16 of them probably have made their professional career debuts with clubs other than the Padres.
Right.
But 20 that played on that team are now officially Major League Baseball ball players.
That's awesome.
All right, now's the time to call. We're going to go ahead. We're going to play Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. We're not going to play games. Caller number one at 447-8500. 447-8500. Caller number one is going to be our player today for Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. I don't know if you saw this. Friday night, Billy Joel, of course, he's been doing this whole series of concerts at Madison Square Garden. He's done these over the last 3 years. It's called a residency, but it's just, it seems like every time Madison Square Garden's empty, Billy Joel moves in and does a concert, right? Yeah. So Friday night, Billy Joel was doing a concert, sang Uptown Girl. Now, again, I'm going back before your time, Adam.
She's been living in an uptown world?
Yes.
Yeah.
You've heard the song.
Yes.
But you probably don't remember watching the video.
No.
With Billy Joel and Christy Brinkley, who was in the video.
No.
Well, there's always been speculation that Christy Brinkley was the girl he was referring to as the Uptown Girl.
Oh.
Eventually, Billy Joel and Christy Brinkley married. They had a daughter who now is singing with Billy Joel. But it was an interesting story that Billy Joel told back in 2010 when he admitted that, yes, it was Christy Brinkley that Uptown Girl was about. But originally, he was writing the song about Uptown Girls.
Oh.
And then he made it singular.
Okay.
But the reason it was Uptown Girls is at the time he was married to Elle McPherson. What a terrible life he's had, right? Married to Elle McPherson and Christy Brinkley, two of the supermodels, especially if you're a Sports Illustrated reader.
Reader.
Reader, yeah.
Articles.
Yeah, read the articles. You would remember both of these young ladies.
Mm.
But Billy Joel was married to both of them.
Among, not
bad. I think he's had like four wives. But those two, not bad.
Not bad at all.
And he was at a party. And with him at the party, Elle McPherson, Christy Brinkley, and Whitney Houston.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And he was thinking just how blessed he was to be in the company of these women, and the thought that came to his mind was, you know, here's a kind of a blue-collar guy hanging with these uptown girls.
Gotcha.
And so that was the point of the song. When he eventually began dating Christy Brinkley, he finished the song. It was singular, became a hit. Well, Friday night, it was kind of an interesting moment when Billy Joel, singing the song at his Madison Square Garden concert, spots Christy Brinkley and kind of sings it toward her. And in response, Christy Brinkley was dancing and singing along with the song. So kind of a full circle moment almost.
Interesting.
At Madison Square Garden on Friday.
Cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. And it is time on a Tuesday to play our favorite game, which is the only one we play. It's Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. And we've got a caller on the line. Who's this?
Kent.
Hey, Kent. All right, so we went for the impassionate plea to get a first-time caller, and we get Kent, who's played this game like six times. Kent, how many times have you played?
Six, seven, you're right.
Yeah, I know.
You beat him out.
Yeah.
Remember,
we do have a 60-day ban on the according to the official rules. If you play, you're not allowed to play.
It might have been 60.
Within 60, but... Yeah, we played this game for a couple of years. But, all right, so Kent, I would imagine six or seven times in, you know the rules.
I do.
Let's go ahead. Let's play Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia.
It's time for Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia on the Sports Rush.
All right, let me get into my clues here. All right. Clue number one. This year's Alpine Skiing World Cup, the men's overall season champion was Bodie Miller. Again, Bodie Miller, this year's Alpine Skiing World Cup overall season champion.
All right, Kent, it is clue number one. It's your opportunity to decide as we go through this little fiasco if you're going to be the even or the odd. Do you want to go first or do you want to pass?
You can go first.
I'll say 2010. Oh, that's right. We don't have the official buzzer. We're in the small studio. Okay, 2010's off the list. Kent, what do you got?
I'll say 11.
All right, going on to clue number two. This will be Kent first. in May 18th of this year, in the UEFA Cup final, CSKA Moscow became the first Russian club to win a major European club competition.
What sport?
Soccer.
Oh.
Okay, that was my question, too.
I never heard a sport in the entire question.
Soccer.
Okay, it is soccer. And can't you go first?
I'll say 2012.
I'll go with, man, I feel like we're in the neighborhood. I just don't know which side of the neighborhood I want to go. You know, it's kind of being caught where you've got a left turn or right turn, and now you're at the end of the street, and you don't know whether to turn left or turn right. I'll go with 2009. Man, I should have maybe turned right. Okay,
let's
go on to the next one. It's my turn first.
Yep. Clue number three.
I can turn right.
Jermaine Taylor defeats Bernard Hopkins for the undisputed middleweight title, ending Hopkins' 10-year title reign in this year.
2013. Oh, man.
Kent.
2008.
See, he took the left turn. He went further down. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, we have now, just to kind of catch everybody up, we have covered 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, and 2013, and all we've gotten is buzzers.
All right, let's go to clue number four. This will be Kent first. In July 22nd of this year, the NHL lockout ends when a new collective bargaining agreement between the NHL and the Players Association is reached.
2006.
Oh, my gosh. We are absolutely.
All right, before we get to...
If this is like 1985, I'm just going to go jump off a bridge.
I'll tell you right now, it's not 85.
I know.
All right.
I think we're still in the neighborhood. I don't know how we've missed it.
Before we get to clue number five, the top song of this year, one of the top songs of this year, was Hollaback Girl by Gwen Stefani. You got that?
Well, that just solidifies that we're really close.
Yeah.
We're really close.
All right, clue number five, Brett first. This year's MLB World Series, the White Sox sweep the Astros 4-0 to win the World Series for the first time since 1917.
I think Ken's a White Sox fan. Maybe.
Ken is not a White Sox fan.
Oh, okay. Okay, because I thought this was going to hand it to him. I almost have a better feeling about Hollaback Girl than I do. I will say 2005.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, I saved us the embarrassment, Ken. I did it for you. I did it for you. I didn't want you to be the one that cost us a winless game, and I was really afraid you were not going to get it.
Well, you know what? If I'm not mistaken, that was the fifth clue one other time you beat me.
Oh. Well, I drag you along for the ride, and then I just pound you when you're not thinking I'm coming. Yeah, I like it. All right, Kent, you know how it works. Hang on the line. We're going to get you
set up.
We're going to get you set up with another pizza. We're going broke buying Kent pizzas. anyway, what was the year I just guessed?
05.
Yep, 2005. That was what it was, and I'm sure everybody driving the car. That's one thing I said to Tim. I said, Tim, I'm sure this game is much easier when you're in your car driving along. You probably think that we are just completely idiots.
But, yeah, you know.
Well, we, you know, I think I set a precedent when I went 2010 because we kept going below and above, below and above, below and above.
Right. It's just how much over, how much under.
Yeah, I was 5 years off, which isn't a bad first guess.
No, not at all.
Just, you know, for some reason we got hung up building like building blocks off of that 2010. All right, that was a fun game. We're going to have to take a break because Maria Marcassano, women's basketball coach, Purdue Fort Wayne, is going to join us coming up next here on the Sports Rush, 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
This is Maria Marcassano, head women's basketball coach at Purdue Fort Wayne, and you're listening to the Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
I think that was a complete coincidence. Did you know that was good? No, we don't. We don't know because our rejoins just rotate, and it just so happened that the Maria Marcassano rejoin brings us back to Maria Marcassano, who is the women's basketball coach, Purdue Fort Wayne, joining us right now on our guest line. Coach, welcome to the show.
What's up, Brett? How's it going?
It's going well, and I laugh because I keep thinking that, you know, usually the month of April historically in college basketball was kind of a rest, relaxation period, get caught up in some sleep and, you know, maybe get to an occasional weekend AAU event. It's a little different now, isn't it?
Yeah, the days of the season ending and us taking a deep breath and relaxing for a couple months are over. The reality is that the portal era is here, and it's one of those things you either adjust or you find a new profession, and I think we've adjusted pretty well.
Well, and of course, last year you opted to keep a couple of scholarships open, and this really was, in my mind, kind of your first deep dive into the portal since you joined Purdue Fort Wayne. What was the experience like as far as going out and trying to, I mean, what was it? Players contacting you, you contacting players, with somebody constantly scanning the transfer portal, watching every new name. How did the process actually work for you?
I mean, it's a little bit of all of that. You know, four of these players I had previous contacts or recruitment or relationships with. So I think a lot of the time the portal is there for them to not have to sit and for, you know, to make it legal to talk to these kids. But most of the time you've already had some sort of contact with the players. At least in my experience, we've really struggled to recruit kids out of the portal that we have, you know, no prior experience recruiting. You know, this year we had some success with a little bit of both. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we were still playing deep into the WNIT and we're hitting refresh in our downtime, seeing who's in the portal, knowing that we were losing some big pieces and knowing that we had scholarships open. So we've been on it constantly. It closes down officially here today. This is the last day it's open. But even before today, we're very satisfied with what we got and kind of said we're good and moving forward with our roster with the way it is.
Of course, you talk about the holes that you've got to fill. And, you know, I'm a little uncertain because of the COVID year. It seems so confusing to me to know who really is a senior and done, who's opting out of taking a COVID year, who's taking a COVID year. Of the returnees, especially those that were in the rotation, who will not be coming back?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest losses are, you know, starts with Shay. She's been here 5 years, one of the GOATs of Purdue Fort Wayne women's basketball. Top 10 in so many different categories, broke so many records of her own, but just really her competitiveness and her versatility. We lose Shay, and then we also lose Destiny. She did have another year left, but felt like she was done. Her body was done mentally with playing basketball, so she's moved on and looking for some GA opportunities to get into coaching with a very specific master's degree that she's looking for. So, you know, right off the top of my head, those are the two biggest losses, but then, you know, you lose Ryan Ott, who was a steady force in our lineup for 3 years, and she had some pretty major injuries along the way and decided to, you know, call it quits after graduating this year as a junior. But, you know, you lose those three, and those are some pretty big shoes to fill.
Of course, when you look at some incoming players, Sydney Freeman stands out. I know it was just, I think, last week when we found out Sydney Freeman was coming to Purdue Fort Wayne. A player that obviously had a great high school career at Central Noble, went on to Ball State and Dayton. Only 1 year of eligibility left, but how did that go as far as her coming back, and what are you looking for from Sydney?
Yeah, I mean, obviously losing Destiny, we lost our main, you know, ball handler and needed to replace that role. And so she wasn't our first pickup, but she was probably our biggest because that was our biggest need. I think we replaced you know, some of the things that Shay, the other things that Shay and Dez and Ryan do, but we had not yet replaced, even if not in all one person, we had not yet replaced the ball handling. And with Sydney, she's an elite ball handler. She's an elite, distributor. She's also an elite scorer. I mean, she's, can score the ball. She's definitely a scoring point guard. But her ability to go from A to B, you know, I just remember watching her way back. I joked with her. I recruited her before I was even married. I remember going up to watch her play at Central Noble and then going to meet my then, you know, boyfriend at the time for dinner. And that's how long I've been recruiting her. So huge need filled with adding her to the program.
So you were recruiting Sydney as a player before you were recruiting Seth as a husband.
About the same time.
All right, so another, you know, when you talk about Shea and what she brought to the program, I mean, you can't replace an identical copy to her, but at least positionally, you do have Lauren Ross. And I know I happened to talk to one of your players that I ran into after we heard about Lauren Ross. And she said, I know who she is. I saw her play at Western Michigan, and she can really play. She can really score. What was the process like with Lauren Ross?
Well, we recruited Lauren out of the portal last year and felt like we had built a really good relationship with her. She was very torn about coming here or going, you know, Power Five, which she was getting quite a few offers to do that. And ultimately, she chose to test those waters, but she was also coming off of an ACL. So she got to Michigan State not completely healthy, didn't have the experience she wanted in terms of time on the court. I think she had a, you know, overall pretty good experience otherwise, and just wanted to spend her last year, you know, with a bigger role on the floor. And that's really what the portal is about. And, you know, she kind of, I think we reached out to her as soon as she popped in the portal, but she was like, if I didn't hear from you guys, I definitely was going to hit you up. And then she ended up coming to our St. Louis game, and we're excited to add her. Like you said, she can really score the ball.
How quick do these players get contacted when they hit the portal? I mean, is it something where if you don't catch them right away, you're the third or fourth call on the list?
You might be the 20th or 21st call on the list. I mean, it's insane. Kids, I think, you know, coaches hit refresh and they see a new name, and there's some programs that will automatically call you even if they don't know anything about you, just to be one of those first phone calls, and then they'll do their research on the back end and decide if they want you. But it's overwhelming. You talk to these kids and their head is spinning. As coaches, it's frustrating because you're talking to a kid, at least from our standpoint, that we've researched and we know that they fit a need that we have. And you know, they've got 17 schools to figure out, you know, how many visits they want to take. And it's a competitive market. You know, you add in there that you can pay kids now and the NIL atmosphere. And you know, every kid wants, you know, playing time and an opportunity to compete for minutes. And it's a real cutthroat business at this point. And we're just lucky to have gotten the kids we have.
Also got Ella Riggs from Furman. What kind of a player did you get with Ella?
Again, we recruited her out of high school. She's a pure shooter. You're going to love her footwork, her fundamentals. Everything she does on the court is extremely smooth. She came to our elite camp way back and just absolutely lit it up. You get her out in transition, she can really pass the ball as well. Really an exciting player, and she kind of meshes with whoever she's on the floor with. You know, you don't have to put a system around her. She can fill it up. If you get her the ball open, she's going to knock it down. But she also has the ability to come off screens and shoot it, which isn't something we've had in the past. Like I said, her footwork and ability to kind of stop and elevate, you know, we've had a little bit of that, but not the way she does it.
What type of a player are you getting with Hillary Offing out of Penn State, Lehigh Valley?
She's different, you know, than what we've recruited in the past. She's a pure athlete. She's not necessarily like a stretch four or five. She's not going to knock down the three, at least yet. But she's a grinder, competitive, super, super hungry for this opportunity. Put up crazy numbers at the school she was at, you know, last year in terms of rebounds and points and efficiency. She's really efficient around the rim, can rebound. She's going to do the dirty work for you. And I think she's somebody that you're going to see the most growth over the next 3 years because she's still very raw in terms of her basketball skills. She's got to hone in her athleticism, but I think the sky's the limit for her abilities here, and I'm excited to watch her grow.
Couple of late additions, Tia Morgan and Jordan Reed. What do you expect from those two?
I think with both of them, you know, the ability to defend multiple positions, they add athleticism. Jordan was an NAI third-team All-American, first-team All-Crossroads, extremely efficient around the rim and from the three-point end. She also has an innate ability to find open shooters. She's not necessarily a point guard. She's more of like that point forward. But her assist-to-turnover ratio is phenomenal and just kind of a real glue player, willing to do all the dirty things as well. And then Tia adds a little bit of extra ball handling. She's not really a true point guard, but adds some extra handling. Shoots it really well from three, but she's not a points-driven a basketball player, which we love that about her. We've got a lot of scorers around her, and she's willing to take on the defensive challenge. She doesn't need points to be happy. She just needs to be on a winning team and compete for a championship. And she's extremely excited to get here and get to work.
You know, Coach, we all thought it was a pretty big game to play Iowa last year and face Caitlin Clark. It has become kind of even bigger with her explosion on the scene now with what she's done for women's basketball. And, of course, it also brings us back to scheduling. Where are you at as far as a schedule for next year? Are you, when you put a schedule together, do you wait to see what kind of a team you've got as to what who you play? What are you looking for in building the schedule for next season?
Yeah, scheduling is a lot like recruiting, man. It's hard to predict. You know, ideally, if you know you have a veteran, talented team, you want to challenge yourself. If you have a young team, you know, kind of the opposite. But with the portal, you just don't know who you're getting on the other end. You could, you know, have scheduled maybe some solid mid-major teams, and then all of a sudden they pick up a couple Power 5 transfers, and they're, you know, all of a sudden they're a top 25 team or, you know, whatever. So it's a little bit more difficult than it used to be, but we'll consistently try and get those a couple top-tier, you know, teams, a couple Big Ten teams on our schedule, and then, you know, add in those mid-majors and then hopefully add a tournament each year. That's kind of our formula. We feel good about where we're at right now with scheduling. Made some huge strides in the last couple of weeks. You know, getting those final contracts signed is always a challenge. You know, nothing's done until it's signed, sealed, and delivered. So we're working on that. But we feel good about what we have on the schedule for right now, at least the way it looks.
Of course, last year, again, falling in the Horizon League semifinals. Just curious where you as the coach see the next step of this program when you're out recruiting and when you're thinking about next year, what you want to do to take that next step forward, because the program has obviously taken great leaps over your first 3 years. What's the next step you want to see?
Yeah, I think consistency is really the key to the next 3 to 4 years. You know, we this year we did a lot of things. We, you know, set the school record for wins, and that's a high bar to achieve every single year. But to repeat it and do it again and again, and just, you know, for that to become the norm in your program, that's what you want. You want people to expect it, be excited about it every year. And I think what you saw this year with recruiting is people want to be a part of winning programs. And the more we win and the more consistent we're going to be, the better recruits we're going to continue to get our hands on, and that's exciting. Obviously, breaking the record for wins is cool, but we still haven't got that championship. So continuing to push forward to get a regular season or a tournament championship is going to be the goal every year. We did hang a banner this year making it to the WNIT that goes up in the gym, and that's something to be proud of, but still got a lot of other boxes that we want to check before we feel like we've done everything around here.
Speaking of consistency and being good year in, year out, and consistently doing it, Green Bay is one of those programs, and Kevin Borseth announced his retirement. That certainly takes a really good coach out of the Horizon League.
Yeah, and I mean, they also added a really good coach. That program is such a machine. They signed a top portal prospect when they didn't even have a coach, like a current coach. That's how well that program kind of runs itself. I mean, all those kids stayed even though, you know, he retired, and I think that says a lot about their culture. They return all five starters plus their, you know, top kids off the bench, added a couple portal kids. You know, this coming year, they're going to be, you know, just as good as they've been with all the talent. And same with Cleveland State. You know, they return everyone and then get, you know, Destiny Leo back, who's another player of the year candidate. It's crazy to think that, you know, Cleveland State has three separate player of the year candidates all on one team. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a dogfight. You know, you got to stay healthy to compete in this league. You got to win some close ones. You got to have a little luck, you know, go your way. But I'm excited for this year. I know our kids are hungry to get that championship. It's not going to be easy with those two teams at the top, but we feel like we've reloaded and are in a good position to at least compete for that this year.
Always a pleasure to have a chance to talk to you. Appreciate the time, Coach, and I know we'll be connecting here soon.
Yep, we'll see you soon, Brett.
Yep, that is Coach Maria Marcassano, women's basketball coach, Purdue Fort Wayne. Always willing to chat, very, very open to and honest with her responses. It's always great to talk to her. Fantastic stuff from Maria Marcassano. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. What about the Bears draft? You know, they didn't have a lot of picks, so there wasn't a lot to evaluate. But they did do something that I've talked about the Colts having to make a priority. We'll talk about that next here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Back on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy. We've got you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Tin Caps Baseball, they're getting set to play at Lake County tonight, and we've got Jack Gordon ready for the play-by-play call, working solo this week. It's Jack on the road all week long with the Tin Caps. We've got play-by-play starting at 6:35, pregame 6:15 here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. So the Chicago Bears in the draft obviously had the number one pick. There was a question whether or not they would trade away number nine. They kept it. But, you know, the one thing that the Bears clearly did as a priority was let's build around the quarterback. If we're going to take him, we've got to build around him. We've got to make sure he's got every weapon, every tool, every bit of protection. And so what did they do with their first three picks? Took a quarterback, a wide receiver, and an offensive tackle. That's the way you get it done. I mean, the Bears only had five picks, but they made sure that their quarterback that they were taking number one would get a wide receiver and an offensive tackle that, if everything works out, will be part of the Chicago Bears for a long time. And so that's the way you do it. And I've talked about Chris Ballard having to do kind of the same approach, that if you're going to build around Anthony Richardson, you've got to make sure you get young talent in key skill positions, wide receiver, tight end. You've got to make sure you've got the protection up front, and they do have, you know, a couple of guys that are younger up front, but they also went out and got another couple of offensive linemen in this draft. But I think what's interesting is when we heard Chris Ballard talk last week, and he slipped in that they were trying to trade up, but they couldn't get it done. Now there's speculation. Did they really try? Did they make a call and then give up rather easily? But I started to think about when I looked at the draft, and I thought, did the Los Angeles Chargers really want to stay at number five, forced to take Joe Alt probably four or five spots higher than they really wanted? And I thought, you know, if the Colts really played it, could they have gotten up to nine and then eventually gotten up to five? I don't think they could have traded with the Chargers going five for pick 15. But I do think maybe 5 to 9, because the Chargers still would have gotten their guy. Joe Alt was going to be available at pick number 9. I'm pretty sure he was still going to be on the board. I don't think the Giants were taking Joe Alt. I think the Chargers could have taken him probably a little lower. But I wonder who the Colts went up and what position could they have gotten in. Because if they'd have gotten up to number 5... they could have gotten Malik Nabers, who went number 6.
Right, right. It's just it's hard to say because we don't know. I mean, it's just Ballard saying, hey, I tried to move up and nobody wanted to do anything with me. But it is interesting to, you know, and then they go and say, oh, we got the guy we wanted even though we tried to move up. And
we figured he was one of the three or four elite players in this draft, and we got him at pick 15. That's the sell job. But you know what? We heard the same things about Kwity Paye. I know there's plenty of film. There's plenty of tape on how great Latu is. And I hope he turns out to be every bit of what those tapes show us. But the reality is the Colts have not hit on a edge rusher in ages. I mean, it certainly hasn't happened under Chris Ballard. And I'm not even, I don't even think they got really a good edge rusher under Ryan Grigson. I think you have to go back to Bill Polian since they actually drafted a quality edge rusher. And so, I reserve judgment. I don't get too excited about the pick. I think, it's a position where if he ends up being there long term, you'll look back on it and think, hey, the Colts made the right move. They picked the right guy. But that's why I don't like to give a grade to a draft until you've seen 4 or 5 years worth of football. Then you can go back and say, You know that 2024 draft back 5 years ago? That turned out to be a pretty good draft for the Colts, but I don't think anybody has a clue right now.
He's doing his best to win over the Colts fans. He's already gotten a horseshoe tattoo on his upper arm.
Really?
He has.
That's bold.
That is bold.
That's bold, because in 4 years, when the Colts don't keep him, he'll be adding another team to that tattoo line.
Yeah, just go down the arm.
Yeah, just start working your way down the arm. By the way, you ever watch the pregame shows on NFL football, CBS, Fox? You've got the CBS NFL Today.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different lineup. They are shuffling things around. Out is Boomer Esiason and Phil Sims.
They're gone.
I don't know that I'll miss Phil Sims all that much. In fact, quite honestly, I forgot he was even on the show. But Boomer, 22 years, and he presented it to his audience on The Fan in New York, where he's a morning show host, that, he made it implied that it was somewhat mutual, but then he said probably more their decision than mine. I don't think if he wanted to stay, he wouldn't have, but he seems totally content with the idea that he got 22 years out of that job. It takes away his entire weekend for about 4 or 5 months a year because he does the morning show. And he just signed last week an extension with the morning show to stay on for a while. So he's going to be on for New York listeners on WFAN with Boomer and Geo in the morning. But he's not going to be part of NFL Today on CBS. And replacing Boomer and Sims, it's going to be Matt Ryan and J.J. Watt.
Interesting, going with two former players.
Recently former players.
Yeah.
They hope that it brings a little bit of a younger audience on board, but it will complete the lineup with Matt Ryan, Bill Cowher, Nate Burleson, and then J.J. Watt, who's actually going to be kind of part-time, so we don't know if he'll be there each and every week, but J.J. Watt will also be part of the studio set with, of course, host James Brown, who is going to return. But a little different look for our Sundays on CBS.
Interesting. I'll be interested to see how those recent players do in the media job.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. It's the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Once again, big event coming up on May 23rd. It is our summer kickoff from the Summit at Parkview Field, as we'll be there for Tin Caps Baseball. They'll take on, who is it they play that night?
It's the Lugnuts.
The Lansing Lugnuts, where they'll be playing at 7:05 on a Thirsty Thursday. We'll be there in the Summit, high above center field, and you are invited. This is one of the rare occasions where you can get individual tickets in a group section, a very exclusive group section. With your ticket, you're going to enjoy all-you-can-eat food buffet. You're going to enjoy beer and wine throughout.
Not from a box.
No wine from the box. Yeah, that would be my wine if you come to my place. Yeah. Yeah. What would be your bargain beer? Like if you had house beer. I mean,
Maybe Yingling.
See, my house. Yeah. When I was younger, it's like my house beer was like red, white, and blue. And that's before your time.
Yeah.
Or PBR.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, that's fine.
Past Blue Ribbon, that was a house
beer.
That was, you know, something you could still afford on a radio budget. But anyway, it is May 23rd. Tickets are available right now. You got to snap them up because the first 100 people will get commemorative cups. It is a throwback to the Wizards night. It is a fireworks night. It's a Thirsty Thursday. It's beer, wine, and food at the Summit with 1380 The Fan and Midwest Box Breaks. Do not miss it. Get your individual tickets now by going to 1380thefan.com. And, of course, speaking of the Tin Caps, Jack Gordon is on the road, has made the trip just east of Cleveland, Ohio, as the Tin Caps open up a series against the Lake County Captains, trying to extend their 3-game winning streak against Lake County. And they'll play a 7-game series in 6 games. This programming note, by the way, Thursday, no Sports Rush. Well, maybe there will be, but it'll be hosted by Jack Gordon.
Yeah, and during
on the road. Yeah, on the road from from Cleveland. You know, he's working solo. Maybe he'll cover some of the hot sports topics for us during our 4-6 period. But we'll have Tin Caps Baseball doubleheader coming up Thursday that starts at 4 o'clock. Pre-game show Thursday at 3:45. Pacers Bucks tonight. Pacers, a 4-point favorite on the road to wrap up the series and move on in the Eastern Conference. Big thanks to our guest, Maria Marcassano, head coach, Purdue Fort Wayne women's basketball. Back tomorrow for a hump day edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.